Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and certainly wish you a Merry Christmas here and a Happy New Year as well. It's hard to believe the New Year's almost upon us. And I hope you'll check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can certainly listen to a number of our past programs. You can hear both hours of our Sunday night program. We're on from 10 o'clock until midnight. Some places only hear us from 11 o'clock until midnight, but you can find both hours available for you on livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to our Friday afternoon program. We have a half-hour program every Friday from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, those are all available live at PastorAl.com. There's a number of articles there. I've got my Christmas collection of articles and some other things that are available there. You can see that there. I've got several things there, some articles, two parodies, and the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures. And I'll be reading that a little bit later on in the program in the second half hour tonight before we close out the program. I just wanted to spend some time just remembering why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas not for the packages and the gifts and all the different things, but we celebrate it because of who was born. And that's what we're commemorating, that's what we're remembering, that's what we're celebrating, or ought to be, as we celebrate Christmas. And, you know, I always found it kind of fitting that Christmas and New Year's comes together, because the birth of Christ really did usher in, a brand new, not just merely new year, but well, how do we date the calendars? You know, before Christ and after Christ.
Right, yeah.
And so we're joined in the studio tonight with my good friend, Pastor John Lutz, pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. And Pastor John, welcome to the program tonight.
Well, Pastor Young, again, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed being with you.
I appreciate you being with us. And of course, you've got a program here on our home station, AM 1220, The Word, here in northeastern Ohio. And what's the time and name of your program?
Well, it's called For the Cause of Christ, and it's on at 1 o'clock from 1 to 1:30 on Friday afternoons right here on 1220 AM. The Word, right before your show at 1:30.
Right, and every once in a while, you fill in for me on our 1:30 program. Yep. Every once in a while, I fill in for you on your 1 o'clock program. Yep. Sometimes we've even combined the program, so it's kind of nice to have you here in the studio tonight for both hours.
Yeah, thank
of our
you
Sunday
so much.
Night. Appreciate that. And of course, I've been mentioning our church, but if somebody's interested in where your church is at, where are you located at?
Well, we're in the city of Lakewood, right on the western border of Cleveland and Lakewood, and it's at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood, Ohio, 44107. You can check us out on the web at northcoastbaptist.org.
northcoastbaptist.org.
Yep.
Very
it.
Good.
Yep.
I appreciate that. And doing a great work out there. For those of you who are not familiar with the Cleveland, Ohio area, he would be on the, I was going to say on the east side.
You always say the east.
I don't know why.
You send him
all
to Pastor Rusnacko.
He's on the west side. We have a good mutual friend, Pastor Rusnacko, the
yes.
Bible Baptist
He's
Temple.
He's on the east side.
In Euclid, Ohio. He's on the east side. And Pastor Lutz is on the west side.
Yes.
And I joke sometimes saying, well, I'm on the south side because thankfully we're not in the same county as,
yeah,
as Cleveland.
Right, exactly.
We're down closer to down the direction of Akron, Ohio, in Summit County, but we're kind of south. So, it's good that there are some good churches here in the area, and I appreciate the work that you're doing out there, and that Pastor Rusnacko is doing out where he's at as well. And it's just, and there's a lot of other good people. Once you start naming people, it's hard to know where to stop.
Yeah, there's a lot of churches in Northeast Ohio. In fact, there's three that I know have started in probably the last 3 years.
Yeah, just recently.
There's Beechwood and Willoughby and Rocky River. has started one over there, plus the existing ones. Mm-hmm. Some have been restarted.
Yeah.
You know, like out in Brunswick, you got Pastor Davis, Greg Davis.
No relation.
Yeah.
That I know of. I mean, yeah. I always say, well, we're related through our great, 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 great grandfather, Japheth.
There you go. Yes. But, you know, he basically, that used to be Emmanuel Baptist, and then they went over, just kind of restarted the whole thing, and boy, they're doing just build a 12,000 square foot building, new sanctuary, new auditorium, I should say, and just doing a tremendous job out there.
And it's exciting to see God's work going forth, and I hope that where you're at, where you're listening tonight, that there's some good churches in your area as well, and we need to be in prayer. We need people to go out start good churches, don't we?
Yeah, because some of our existing churches, they're falling. They're compromising.
Yeah,
and it's sad. And you'll usually see it. There's three things you'll see it in. One indicator is standards. When you start to see standards being lowered, that's an indicator. Secondly, music. Mm-hmm. You'll see the compromise into heavy on the contemporary music and those things. And then third, always comes along, is the Bible.
Yes.
You'll see a change. You'll see little tolerations of, well, you know, I saw this past year. There were two churches that some of these churches I check up on because we support them monetarily. And so I kind of keep my eye out because, you know, I don't want to be preaching against something on Sunday, sending money out on Monday to go support these things. And I noticed two of them, two very, very prominent churches. Names I give you, you'd be like, no way. And I'm telling you, yes. That they played a video at Easter time, and again, there's an enamorment with the audiovisual stuff, and it was one word. It was one word that I saw. I didn't watch the whole thing, but the one part I saw was the centurion standing at the feet of the foot of the cross after Jesus died. And I'm trying to remember which way it went, which word it was, but it was either surely or truly, one of the two. Whatever it was, I think it said surely. This was the Son of God, or it said truly, whatever it was the opposite.
Right.
And I just knew right away. I was like, I looked at my wife and said, that's not King James. Mm-hmm. And this is a stalwart, strong King James church, historic King James church. And little things like that, they're just not good indicators of what's going on. So sadly, there's some that are, unfortunately, there's some we can't recommend anymore. But I'm thankful, in at least in Northeast Ohio, and I'm sure across the country, and across the world for that. I mean, how many missionaries we support. We can definitely, I had somebody in Mexico that we have some good missionary guests on there, the Wallace family. And we had some, been able to get him in get some people in contact with them down in Mexico City. Mm-hmm. So we've got them all over the world too. So,
right.
But,
And you know, when you think about it, the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. I mean, those churches still exist today.
Zero.
Exactly. and my point being, we have to constantly be in the process of birthing new churches.
That's right, yeah.
And say, well, we got established churches. Well, yeah, but there were established churches there.
Yeah.
And now they need churches because the churches come and go.
That's right.
But thankfully, the Lord, he's always there, and he's always faithful. And when one church starts to merge with the world, I guess for lack of a better way of putting it, you know, God is ready to put his hand upon another group that'll come together to represent Christ, because that's what we're supposed to do. Of course, that's not the main point of our conversation here today, but it is a good point when we think about it, you know, because like I said, we're celebrating Christmas and then New Year's, and when we think of what Jesus accomplished with his birth and bringing in a whole new time, a way of calculating the dates, A.D. and B.C., you know, before Christ, and then, you know, the A.D. is Latin, what I'm going to mess it up. It basically means after Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in Latin. Adio Domini or something like that, but whatever it is. But something. But it means
that's
after
way
Christ.
Over my
that's,
head,
that's where you go. After Christ. Try not speaking tongues here today. But and the other thing that the birth of Christ reminds us of is the fact that we can become a new person,
yeah,
and have a new nature, yeah, when we come to Christ. And so Jesus came into the world in order to purchase our salvation. And I'm sure you've heard it and maybe even said it yourself. And I've heard it too. You know, he came into the world to die.
Yeah.
And somebody says it's the only baby that was born to die.
Yeah.
And so as a consequence, the birth of Christ, very, very, very important point in human history. And we spent the last hour, much of the last hour, talking about December 25th, and it is Jesus born on December 25th or not. And we basically came to the conclusion that, well, you know, we believe that he is, but we're not going to be dogmatic on that. And you can make a good case perhaps that he wasn't, but one thing we are in complete agreement on is the fact that he was born.
Yeah, and for the purpose for which he was
exactly
born.
Yeah. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And even if nothing else, the fact that the world is looking at this time of year as the birth of Christ, the nativity of Christ,
yeah,
why not take advantage of it? There's good reason to believe that it was.
Yeah.
And like I said, you can come up with some other reasons not to say that it was, but can't be really dogmatic one way or the other as far as I'm concerned. So if that's the case, why not use this time of year to the world's ready to pay attention? It's a time of year you can use to tell people about Christ.
Well, Pastor L, it's because of the worship of trees.
I knew you would bring that in there somewhere. You know, I have
really
to tell
isn't that
people,
a sticky point?
Yeah, I have to tell people that that you had me out for your Christmas banquet, and you know it.
Now come on, they were small decorative trees. They were like, I don't even know how to describe them. I just remember when we first started the church. Somebody called me and said, hey, Walmart's selling a bunch of Christmas stuff. And we bought those. They were lighted trees for $5.
Uh-huh.
I was like, yeah.
There you go.
And I got a nice pile of them. Yeah, they're nice decorative ones. So.
Yeah. Well, that does bring
and
up.
And we were bowing down and we were bringing our gifts.
Yeah, I see that.
You know, we were
that.
Bowing down to them.
But
so.
No, that brings up a good question then. And this comes up periodically. I've heard this on the radio already this year. And, probably people have heard it more than once if
yeah.
you've been paying attention. But usually every year, the subject of the Christmas tree comes up.
Yep.
And Jeremiah chapter 10, and let me just read the first four verses here. Jeremiah
sure.
chapter 10, starting with verse 1, the Bible says, "Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers, that it move not." And, you know, I've heard people read that and say, well, there it is. There's the Christmas tree. How can you argue with that?
Yeah.
It's a tree. They cut it out of the forest. They fasten it with nails and hammers and it moves not, so it stays upright. They deck it with silver and gold. I mean, how can that not be a Christmas tree?
Yeah.
This is clear condemnation of the Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah.
And so the Christmas tree must be nothing less than idolatry if you have a Christmas tree in your home or in your church.
That's what it looks like. Absolutely.
But here's the thing. We're called to be students of the Word of God.
That's right.
And if this is a condemnation of the Christmas tree, which, of course, nobody really knew anything about in Jeremiah's day, then obviously we ought to be concerned. But if it's not, why would we use this passage and make it out to be something that it's not? As you continue looking in Jeremiah there, we go back to the previous chapter in Jeremiah chapter 9, in verse 13 and 14, mm-hmm. God rebukes the Jewish people here from turning away from him and following the ways of the heathen. He says this, "Because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, after Balaam, which their fathers taught them." Okay, so he's talking about idol worship here, worshiping a false god.
Right.
He continues a little further down in verses 25 and 26, saying, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah and Edom, and the children of Ammon and Moab, and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart." He's saying you just become like the world.
Yeah.
You've embraced the world's religions. You've embraced the world's idols, and you've become like the world. And I'm going to lump you together with the world is what he's saying here. And so now we come into Jeremiah chapter 10 again, where we're at, and as we look at that again, let's look at the beginning of Jeremiah 10, verses 3 and 4, where it says, "For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers, that it move not." Now, what we're looking at here is talking about a tree cut out of the forest. And later, in verse number 8, it's referred to as a stock. Mm-hmm. And then Jeremiah used the same word earlier in chapter 2, where starting in verse 26, it says, "As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed, they, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, saying to," and here's that word again, "saying to a stock,
mm-hmm,
thou art my father, and to a stone thou hast brought me forth. They have, for they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us." So we've got a stock and we've got a stone. And these are things that they turned into idols,
mm-hmm,
the stock and the stone. The stock is a piece of wood.
Yeah.
And it's been carved, basically. And the stone is a stone that's been carved. And so it's clear that the stock that Jeremiah is referring to in chapter 2 is an idol. The context of chapter 10 indicates that the tree cut out of the forest is an idol as well, because in verse 5 it says, "They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither it also is it in them to do good." And then verses 8 and 9 says, "But they are altogether brutish and foolish, the stock." There's that word again. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. "Silver," and this is instrumental in understanding what Jeremiah is getting at.
Yeah.
"Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish." It didn't say formed into little round globes in bells. It says spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz. "The work of the workmen and the hands of the founder, purple and or blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men." And then he continues down in verses 14 and 15. "Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confused by the graven image." Now, wait a minute. Graven image. This is, again, talking about the stock.
Yeah.
It's a graven image, right, which means it's been carved up. "For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish." Of course, the molten image, we understand, they'd melt down some gold or silver and form an idol out of that. But a graven image. So how did the forest, the tree of the forest, become an idol? Well, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 44. In Isaiah chapter 44. Now, again, if you think Jeremiah and what we're talking about is a Christmas tree, follow along with me in Jeremiah chapter 44.
Isaiah 44.
Or I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. That's why I have you here. It's late. Isaiah chapter 44, starting verse 13. "The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and he marketh it out with the compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, and he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it, and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god, and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image, and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof with fire, with part he eateth flesh, he roasteth roast, and is satisfied, yea, he warmeth himself, and saith, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. To me, this just seems the height of senselessness. He planted the tree, he cut the tree down, he burned it, part of it in the fire,
yeah.
And then he took the remaining chunk of wood and he carved it up, and then he says, thou art my God,
yeah.
As if it's responsible for him being there.
Right.
And so, well, let me just continue here again. The piece of wood is formed into an idol here, and that's a little bit differently than how I treat my Christmas tree. I don't usually do all that stuff to my Christmas tree. Maybe somebody out there that does. But he says, the residue of the tree cut from the forest is carved into the figure of a man, which means the limbs and the bark are removed from as the stock of the tree is shaped and finished as a graven image of wood. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 19 through 20, gives us a couple of examples of graven images, one made from metal, the other from a block of wood. And he says this, the workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. And see, he didn't have the money to make a metal idol, so he makes it out of tree, gets one that's not going to rot very easily, and they spread gold over it, and they use the silver. And that's what it says a little further down in Isaiah chapter 41:7 here. So the carpenter encourageth the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering, and he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. That sounds a lot like Jeremiah said, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Fasten it with nails that don't remove.
Yep.
And they covered the wooden idol with gold and silver plates, and coming back to Jeremiah chapter 10, here it is again. Silver in verse 9, silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workmen, and the hands of the founder, blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. So, I have to ask you a question. Your Christmas tree, do you carve it up? Do you take all the bark and branches off from it and carve it into an image of somebody and hammer gold plates all over it?
We do not. You know, and I would
don't
say
do that either.
If you do, then you're guilty of what you're accusing everybody. But what is the intention here? I mean, that's what we always have to look at. I don't know a single person that puts up a Christmas tree for whatever reason, a decoration or for, you know, putting gifts under the tree for that is bowing down, worship. And you could take this to the extreme, which is what people do. Okay, putting gifts under the tree, decorating it. But when you understand the context, what you just read in comparison, comparing scripture upon scripture, it is clear it has nothing to do with a Christmas tree.
Right.
You literally have to pigeonhole this and tunnel vision this to say this is what it is. You have to negate. I mean, it is so clear. They have the wood. They take the plates of the silver, take the plates of the gold. Mm-hmm. They fasten it to the wood, because you brought up the point. They couldn't afford gold. They couldn't afford silver. So it's like us going to a jewelry store. You know, there's guys that shop at the cubic zirconia places.
Yes.
And there's guys that are going to, you know, what was the place? Harrods in England.
Yeah.
I when we went through England.
Gold plate versus, or silver plate rather, versus sterling silver.
Exactly, yeah. And so that's the difference. And so that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it clearly has nothing to do. When you say it's a Christmas tree, you are impugning that people are worshiping that tree. Like we're so ignorant that, that's worship. We're worshiping a tree. I'm not worshiping a tree.
No.
You're not worshiping a tree.
I saw something recently where a guy was comparing a Christmas tree with an idol, and he said the idol is venerated forever, a Christmas tree's thrown out.
Well, I guess he didn't work too well, huh?
Yeah. But you bring out a good point, because, you know, just merely making a graven image and hammering gold on it doesn't necessarily even make it an idol then.
Yeah.
It's the act of worshiping
that's right.
it.
Yeah, that's what
and,
it is.
And we see that in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 17, where he talks about when one falleth down unto it and worshipeth it and yeah. prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. Now, if somebody puts up a Christmas tree and they fall down before it and they worship it and they pray to it and they ask it to deliver me.
It ain't a Christmas tree.
That's an idol.
That's an idol. That's not a Christmas tree.
But if you put it up as a Christmas tree, it's a yeah. decoration.
Yeah.
It is not violating Jeremiah. Jeremiah does not talk about a Christmas tree. Now, I'll put it this way. You could come up with other reasons to not have a Christmas tree.
Sure, yeah.
But Jeremiah
yeah,
is not
right.
one
yeah,
of them.
100%,
I'm
right.
just this is my yeah. position on it. Whether you want a Christmas tree in your house or your church is between you and God.
Yeah.
That's up to you. That's not up to me. But whatever you do, don't justify it with Jeremiah.
That's right.
Because
right.
that is horribly taking this out of context.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I hear people every yeah. year on the radio in a sanctimonious tone. Yeah. saying, boy, that Christmas tree is nothing more than a pagan idol.
Yeah.
People don't believe Jeremiah. Jeremiah says so. Jeremiah doesn't say so.
That's right.
When you look at Scripture, you have to put Scripture in context. And so as when we realize that it's not the decorating and all of that that's going on. It's the act of venerating and worshiping it. Exodus 20, verses 4 through 5, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Now, the sentence does not stop there.
Right.
So it's not saying you can't make these things.
Yeah.
It's saying you cannot make these things, and then it says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them.
Yeah.
The idea is making them so that you can bow down and serve them. It's all one sentence. We talked about the King James Bible earlier. This is one of the reasons the King James is superior to the later English versions and all. The later versions break up some of these sentences, these long sentences. And I'm always indebted to my eighth grade English teacher, Mrs. Hertreiter. What a name. I cannot make that up.
Yeah.
She taught us sentence diagramming. And sentence diagramming, I thought, when am I ever going to need this again?
Wow.
But you know what? If you got a King James Bible and you know little basics of sentence diagramming,
yeah.
it'll unlock Scripture because the long, complicated sentence structure in the original is preserved in the King James so that these thoughts can be brought out.
Yeah.
And so it's not just you can't make this graven image. It's that you're not to make them so that you bow down to them and worship or serve them. That's what makes it an idol.
What's interesting is those who contend against the Christmas trees
mm-hmm.
are actually giving more, leaning more towards the power of a Christmas tree than the ones who are actually setting it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
right.
that didn't come out right, but they're actually giving more credence to say, well, look at that idol. And we're going, that's not an idol, it's just a tree.
Right.
So really, the Bible would actually call them the weaker Christian, the weaker believer,
mm-hmm.
and because it's used in reference to eating. Oh, well, all things are lawful, right? But he says, well, he that eateth herbs, who is weak...
Mm-hmm.
So the one who puts the limitations on it, you're actually giving more, lending more credibility to saying that, or more power, maybe it's authority, and authority is not a good word, more power as some idol than the average person putting one up in their home.
Yeah.
And you have to try to convince us that we're partaking in some pagan thing, yet you're convinced it's paganism. And we're looking at it going, there's no scriptural basis for
right,
what you're
right.
saying.
Now, there may be other reasons that some people come up with
sure,
and,
yeah.
and that we can, let me use a good King James word here, eschew, that we
Ooh.
Can eschew, meaning,
wow,
you know,
look at you.
Avoid Christmas trees based on pagan origins or other reasons. And a lot of times people come up with, well, you know, pagan groups use this. They brought the evergreen in as a symbol of this, that, or the other. And then there's other people who say, no, they brought it in as a symbol of rebirth and life, you know, and I know one tradition was that you would burn the Yule log on Christmas Eve, And then after the children went to bed, the parents would set up the Christmas tree, and it would be as if the Yule log was reborn as a symbol, in one sense, of, you know, the resurrection.
Yeah.
Jesus died, and he resurrected.
Yeah.
And so there's all kinds of reasons that people come up with. But again, this whole idea, what we're talking about today, doesn't deal with that so much. We're talking about the idea, if you're going to eschew the Christmas tree, if you're not going to have a Christmas tree, please don't use Jeremiah.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeremiah
that
is not it.
The place to go, right?
Jeremiah is not it.
Yes.
But again, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to be right back, so stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we'll be with you until midnight tonight, and certainly want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year here tonight, and I hope you've been enjoying the program. We've had a special program tonight, and we've had Pastor John Lutz in the studio with us, and due to the holidays, we haven't been able to take phone calls or anything here this evening, so I thought we'd have Pastor Lutz join us, and we've just been conversing about a number of things about Christmas here And we're going to be reading, I'm going to be reading the Christmas, the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures here in just a few minutes. And I always like to do that to close out the program this time of year, because, you know, this is something that we need to be focused on. And we'll get back to that in just a minute. But again, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can learn more about me and the program. You can listen to past programs there. You can listen to some of the programs that you might not hear where you're at. We're on for 2 hours, 10 o'clock until midnight every Sunday night, and we're on for a half hour every Friday afternoon, 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And so you can listen to those. There's a number of articles and things that I have there. I've got my Christmas collection there, some articles and different things that we have all at livewithpastoral.com. And you can even link from that to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. Somebody asked me one time, "Are you assistant pastor?" I said, "I'm the only pastor. We're not that big." But we'd love to have you visit us sometime at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And check us out online, as I said, livewithpastoral.com. And we were talking in the last half hour about the Christmas tree and what the Bible says about it or doesn't say about it is probably more likely.
Yeah, right.
And I've got Brother John Lutz, pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church, with me in the studio. You've managed to survive this long, so good to have you with us tonight.
Well, thanks again. I've thoroughly enjoyed being here tonight.
It's been enjoyable, and like I said, when we realized that we weren't going to be able to have callers, I thought, you know, where can I find somebody that would be really good and that I can work well with, and they couldn't make it, so I got you.
I was going to say, how many people that, did you right? go through to get to me? I know I'm down on the list, so.
No, you're the first one I call. For those who aren't familiar with Pastor Lutz, we actually trade off sometimes on Friday afternoons. I'll fill in for him sometimes. He'll fill in for me. Sometimes we've even joined our programs together. And so when I thought about doing having somebody in the studio with me for 2 hours, you really were my first choice, because it's a pleasure to work with you and the love of the Lord that you have. And you have a balanced view of the scripture. You know, it's not, I remember our mutual friend, Bruce Musselman, who's with the Lord now. I think it was him that says something about, you know, you want to love the Lord and serve the Lord, but you don't want to be weird.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I think that's what we've been talking about, is kind of some of the weird things that people develop.
Right.
Specifically regarding these times.
Yes.
And just trying to bring some more balance to it. You know, we've got people in our church, they want nothing to do with Christmas as we have celebrated it. Others that want me to do a whole bunch more.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, we can all get, it's not, whichever one you want to choose is fine, but we got greater purposes and greater things that we're here for.
You know, I had a friend of mine tell me one time when I was in the Air Force, in fact, this is the guy that's actually responsible for me being, you know, in the ministry today, probably, because...
So he's,
you
know, the one
was,
to blame?
He's the one to blame, yes. he was actually, he transferred in. I was stationed at RAF Chicksands in England, and he was transferred in down the hall from me, and we basically worked in a windowless building surrounded by armed guards, and a lot of times people think, oh, you're in prison, huh?
Is that what you call it now?
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I never thought of that.
I prefer to call it a skiff. It sounds better. No, but anyway, so he worked down the hall, and we interacted because he had a similar job to me, and I had some, he had gotten involved with a missionary who had just started to work outside of our base, and so I got involved in the Chicksands Baptist Church. It was there that I rededicated my life to the Lord and then surrendered to the ministry, and I was going to stay in the Air Force, but God had other plans, so I left the Air Force going to the ministry. And one day we were having a conversation, and we were talking about different things with Christmas, and he had some kids, some small kids, and other families in the church with small kids. And we had one family that they just, everything with Christmas that they could do, they did.
Yeah.
They had their kids, you know, you can't stay up. Santa's watching. He's waiting for you to go to bed. Santa's not going to be here unless unless you go to sleep. And they just really played up the Santa thing big time. time, and they said, anybody that didn't, you're depriving your kids of their childhood. And as an aside, I remember when I was growing up, I always knew my parents were Santa Claus. I hope this doesn't hurt anybody. But
because they should be in bed.
The reason being, where my bed was and the way the door was positioned, I watched my parents put the tree, you know, the presents under the tree that said from Santa. I watched it all the time. It's you guys. I can never remember anything but knowing that it was them. But it was a nice story. It was a fun story. And then another family that they had nothing to do with Santa Claus, Christmas tree, anything at all. Yeah. Wouldn't even tell their kids about it. And my friend said, you know, I felt kind of bad because his philosophy was, I'm going to tell my kids a story about Christmas and Santa and all that because they're going to hear it from other kids. You know, they were in the school on the base, you know, a public school basically. And they said, they're going to hear about it. People are going to ask them about it. So I want them to know what the world teaches about it, but I'm also going to let them know that it's make-believe and that Jesus is real. And so he said, I was always wondering because the one family would tell him, oh, you're taking the joy of childhood away from them. And the other family would say, you're letting them be infected with pagan ideas. And he said, I really wasn't sure whether I was doing the right thing or not. And he said, I overheard my little girl talking to a neighbor girl and saying about Santa, what did Santa leave for Christmas? He said, I heard my little girl say, you know, Santa's make-believe. He's not like Jesus. Jesus is real. But Santa's just a nice story. And he said, you know, I realized it was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah, sure.
And so the kids are smarter than we give them credit for sometimes. But I wanted to read the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures because we talk about Santa and everything, we don't have time to get into that. But we want to read this because this is the meaning of Christmas. The birth of Christ as recorded in scripture. Let me read this tonight. The birth of Christ according to the scriptures. The Bible says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelled in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen. Well, again, I hope that was a blessing to you tonight, because it's always good to keep our focus back on Christ. Because, as you know, the saying almost sounds a little dated and trite and all that, to say Jesus is the reason for the season, but it really is true. Jesus is the reason for the season, isn't he?
He sure is. And what's great about this is it brings together the scriptures in a way that's chronological, in order, and makes a whole lot of sense. That took a lot of time to do that, so thank you for doing that, Pastor.
It came together over a period of years, started when we started a church in the Samoan Islands, and the thing I like about it is it's just scripture, nothing else.
Yeah, that's good.
And a surprisingly readable narrative. So I appreciate you. I hope people check it out online, live at PastorAl.com. Yeah. But Pastor John Lutz, I want to thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate that.
And I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And certainly for all of our listeners tonight, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you as well. And we'll be talking with you more in the new year. And just want to thank you. And again, keep Christ in Christmas. God bless. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night
from 10 to midnight.
And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.